You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show Special Reports. Live weekday afternoon. Now reporting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app. The tune in. When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He's got nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN. We will start off by saying good evening to Michael.
In Game 7 of the 2016 World Series.
Oh. And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Special guest Jim Passan. Or Jeff Passan, either one.
And he turned out to just be breathtaking, didn't he?
You know what, Peter? Michael is going to try to claim that he's not. It's over. Can we just say it's over?
No, anyone who heard it.
He's the number one guest.
Yeah, anyone who heard it knows the facts. You know, I know facts don't matter anymore.
Ever.
In this world. But they do to me, Don. Or his name isn't Jim Passan. Now, we're going to get to Russell Wilson's audio you've been waiting for all day in just a couple of minutes, but I want to hit a little news story first, if you will.
Please.
Are you comfortable with it?
Very.
UConn, we rarely start with college football, but I think we have to here. So, UConn announced earlier today that it is suspending its football program for the 2020 season because of the coronavirus pandemic. Now, of course, they left the AAC. They were horrible in the AAC last season, 2-10. So obviously, they're not a good team, and they were going to play as an independent this season. So this is not the same as Miami, Florida State, or USC declaring they're not playing. However, Don, I do imagine it still factors in that we have a team officially declaring itself out of the college football business for 2020. Now, that story comes on the same day that we got a bunch of other interesting information, including rumblings of a possible COVID cover-up at Colorado State, where their president, Joyce McConnell, says she will launch an investigation into how the athletic department has handled COVID-19 safety protocols amid this report that players were told not to reveal symptoms. It started out with an article published in the Colorado on Tuesday. In the paper, players and members of the staff say coaches told them not to report coronavirus symptoms and threatened players with reduced playing time should they quarantine.
Unbelievable.
People believe an anonymous football player told the paper, quote, "I believe there's a cover-up going on at CSU, but they could only cover it up for so long, and now that we have so many cases across athletics, they can't cover it up anymore. It's not about the health and safety of the players, but about just trying to make money off the players." Also, Don, Big Ten players have published a list of demands for dealing with safety during the pandemic. Quote, "According to the Players Tribune, we believe that the NCAA must, on its own and through collaboration with the conference, devise a comprehensive plan to ensure the safety and well-being of players leading up to and during the upcoming football season." So, a lot to wrap your head around. And we also learned that the Big Ten has revised their schedule, and it supposedly begins Labor Day weekend. The regular season would wrap on November 21st with an open date on the 28th and then the league championship game December 5th. Michigan, Ohio State, if it were to take place. And Don, of all the strange sights to envision a no crowd football game, imagine October 24th, 2020, if we get Michigan and Ohio State with no fans. So I know that's a lot to chew on when it comes to college football, but I wanted to give it all to you at once.
Well, I can all encompass it in one word, and that's money. Right? We saw the Ivy League suspend their season. Why? No big-time money with a television contract. They can do that. UConn can suspend their football operations. Why? Because it's not a big money generator for them. But then you're going to see schools and conferences where it is big money, where there are big television contracts, try to fight through it. That's pretty transparent, the reason they're doing it, right? Because there's just too much money to say no. Yeah, we're worried about the health and safety of our players, but not the expense of the billions of dollars we're going to make off their backs.
Of course.
And they don't have a union. So what can these players do? Lose a year of eligibility by walking away and possibly hurting their draft status? Or being forced to play because they have to and they have no recourse because there's no union? They can write the letters. They can get petitions. That's all going to be ignored, Peter. It's all going to be ignored. All they care about is making their money. And it's then you throw on top of what's happening at Colorado State. I mean, somebody should be arrested for that.
I mean,
never
that
publicly shamed. I mean, that should be illegal to do that.
Can you imagine, Don, right now, if that was going on, the coaches were telling players, do not report symptoms? Can you fathom how bad that would be?
My goodness.
That's how I feel. Now, speaking of things that are awful, for some reason, today, for no reason that we know of, Russell Wilson decided to log onto Beyonce's internet and post the following clip.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell them.
There's no words.
Should you think it would be bad if we laid out for the next 49 minutes?
I don't know how you get up from that.
Don, have you ever... I have a strange affinity for this audio. I wonder if anyone out there can listen. And I want to excuse myself because what I'm going to say is crude. However, it's the only thing I can make a comparison that I find to be appropriate. Don, have you ever had gas and flatulence has occurred that's so abhorrent and so repugnant that you almost like it? That's how I feel about this audio. It's like a fart that I want to smell. I cannot help wanting to listen to him say, Mr. Unlimited, even though it's so horrifyingly awkward. I think it was Sierra's idea. I want to say it right now. I think she was like, babe, you need to come up with something. Let's think of something you could do.
But isn't she in love with him?
Yeah, she. I mean, listen.
They have a child.
They just had a child.
I believe the child is Wynn, correct?
Mr. Unlimited.
That's the name of the child now.
And so why, when you love somebody and have had their children, would you put them in that situation?
Maybe because she thinks he's
unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
I don't like this at all. And I want to like him.
I know it's like...
Because he's a heck of a player. He really is. And he's so likable on the field, but off the field between this and the Hey Seattle.
Mr. Unlimited.
He's awkward.
It's very painful.
I'll tell you what. This will put this in perspective. If he was the least bit a borderline Hall of Famer, this would keep him out.
I know. And by the way, and I don't think he'll be borderline. I think he'll cruise right,
right.
in.
But for some reason, he ended up borderline.
I just want to say right now, it is not the last time you will hear the drop.
Mr. Unlimited.
But it'll never come at something we're celebrating that's cool.
No. Listen, there are a lot of cool people who do very weird things. I consider Drake in the same category.
Is that right?
Marshawn, it is right. So then there's guys like Marshawn who don't try at all, and yet everything he says is gold.
But
take care of y'all chicken. Because you know what it is? You know what, Don? Listen, I'm sure Russell Wilson's a good person. It has nothing to do with that. But Marshawn is so authentic that everything works. And Russell... it just doesn't know how to be authentic.
Well, because you're trying too hard, bro. It's classic trying too hard, bro. The cool people, they don't know why they're cool. It's not like in any effort that they put forward. It's just that it's the lack of trying that makes it so cool. When you try to construct something like an evil scientist to be cool, I can guarantee you the best idea is still going to be uncool because you tried too hard. You're forcing it.
It's like... a fart that I want to smell.
Like, you brought this up when we were talking about Alonzo. Because I think Pete Alonzo kind of sometimes falls into that trying too hard, bro.
You know what? If he doesn't mess around, if he's not careful, we're going to see Pete Alonzo get on the internet and come up with an idea that he has a nickname.
But you brought this up about Eli. It's so easy to just have the opinion that Eli Manning is kind of like a nerdy guy, that his brother is like so much cooler. Actually, Eli's the cool one because there's no effort into what he is.
Where's your Snapchat, Don?
Making no effort, and that lack of effort to me comes across as cool. Right?
I've always thought Eli was cool because he's so comfortable being...
That's all cool is. Like, it's hard to define. And by the way, I came to this conclusion. It's the best word in the English language. It's got the most longevity. It's slang that has existed for 60 plus years. It never gets old. It describes so much. It's when you're asked something like, all right, Zoom meeting coming up at 1:45, you could respond with cool.
It's true. It's a beautiful word.
People are telling me on Twitter
that this clip is old, which may be true. People started talking about it today.
I don't care how old it is.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's newsworthy.
Mr. Unlimited.
So somehow people missed it. You may have missed Carmelo Anthony yesterday. Looking great again.
That's
clutch
right.
Clutch minutes down the stretch and a big win over the Rockets for his Blazers. And his teammate, Dame Dalla, says... Carmelo's a Hall of Famer, man. That's just who he is.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I think it's more disappointing that people are surprised by it. You know what I mean? He's a Hall of Famer, like I said. He's a great teammate. And that's what we expect from him. You know, we put him in those positions because we expect him to make those shots. We believe he's going to make those shots. And we brought him here because we knew he would make a difference for our team. And he's been doing that. So no surprises here. We expect that from him. And, you know, I'm glad that he's here to come through for us in those big situations.
Guy could score in his sleep. Like, if they had an old timers game in basketball, like, I think 60-year-old Carmelo Anthony could still score.
It is a bummer, that things played out the way they did and he was like frozen out for a while. It was so strange. But he is tremendous.
Blazers to banging on the door, man, a game out.
Yeah, there could be the end of this pre-start, this restart, the end of the pre-start could end up being playoff adjacent.
Because the Grizzlies are a mess. They've lost four in a row. So I don't have the Grizzlies' schedule in front of me, but the Blazers could do this, man. I don't know how the league would feel about it, because they'd probably be torn a little bit, right? But
I mean, they'd be more competitive.
Well,
I think the Blazers are interesting. The Blazers all year was kind of like, if they get in, they could do something. Will they get in?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A couple of weird WWE stories today, one weirder than the other. The first is Don. Don, are you familiar with the biggest sports broadcasting agent in the biz, Nick Khan?
Oh, sure.
Got a lot of money for colleagues of ours like Max Kellerman, I believe Mike Greenberg, Michelle Beadle. All the big contracts, so many of them came through Nick Khan.
Wait, hold on. Whew. You can smell that money.
That's exactly right.
That's a lot. You just named three people that make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Big money.
Unlimited money.
He has left CAA to take over as president and chief revenue officer at WWE.
How about that?
Very, very interesting. Now, I admit this is especially interesting for me because I'm so familiar with Khan as an agent. And he's going to WWE, where he'll replace George Berrios and Michelle Wilson, who left the company back in January. The one thing about this, Don, the most fascinating thing to watch, he is a direct report to Vince McMahon.
Okay.
And it will be very interesting to see how an alpha dog like Nick Khan, who probably hasn't had to truly answer to a boss in 20 years, will work with Mr. McMahon.
You're fired!
To go from no boss
to the
ultimate boss.
Right. So,
Mr. Unlimited.
Well, that may be his new nickname. We don't know.
If Mr. Khan decided to stay as an agent, does he take my call? And I love my representation. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that if for some reason I became unhappy with my representation and wanted to call him.
Does he take
your
call?
Don't sugarcoat it. Does he take my call?
Is that right?
Well, let me before I get to your answer, let me say this. I dealt with Nick Khan once. I now that he's left CAA, I feel comfortable telling this story. Several years ago, he tried to poach me from ICM. I was very flattered by this. I didn't know that's what was happening. And then I was like, oh, this is a poaching. That's what's happening here. And I'll put it this way. I did not go with him, which could have... who knows what... It was a time, Don, when a major transition was happening at the company.
Okay.
And I was being floated around for a lot of major things. And he obviously became privy to that and reached out to me. After that time passed, it's not like I ever heard a word from him again. So I say all of that to say the only reason I think I was appealing to him in the moment was because there was a possibility that I was getting considered for something major that would have made him money.
Right. And it's an easy 10%. It's like,
exactly.
It's cherry-picking.
And it fit in with other clients that he had, et cetera. And then it went away. So do I think he would take a call from us? I'll throw us in the same category right now.
Well, that's awful flattering.
I don't know. He might entertain the call, but would he call back? That's the question.
Because that's what happens with some of these agents. I'm sure it happens in sports as well. But it's like, oh, this guy, is contract is coming up. He's well-liked. He's going to stay with the company he's with. He's going to get a nice contract. if I just sign him up and it's easy lifting negotiations, boy, that's found money.
It was one of the most interesting moments of my career, though, because I didn't know what was happening. And Max, who's done incredibly well with Nick, Max Kellerman called me. And I love Max Kellerman. He's been nothing but good to me since I met him when I was an absolute zero. I actually just watched the tape of it. I found it in my tapes, my interview with him back in 03, 04. He's been nothing but kind to me since I first met him. That being said, he has not called me voluntarily ever, okay? Not once ever. And that's fine. I don't go calling Max either. So when he called me for a random conversation and then started telling me about how great Nick was, I was like, oh, is this how this goes? And I'm, John, like you, I'm such a hack yo-yo local yokel. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But
I'm Hack Rosenberg.
Exactly. And here I am. We're still in the same room. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Right here. And anyway, so he heads over to WWE. And also, bizarre WWE story. Don, have you heard of Marty Jannetty?
No. Not familiar with this
one. He was one half of the Rockers with Shawn Michaels back in the day. And his career didn't go the way of Shawn Michaels. He was sort of the member of the tag team that faded into oblivion. Or as Mike Tyson once said, Bolivian. But he randomly also decided to get on Beyonce's internet today. And this morning...
How does one do this, by the way?
Get on Beyonce's internet?
Yes.
It's just the entire internet.
Mr. Unlimited.
No. It's Mrs. Unlimited. It's Beyonce. It's just a phrase I find hilarious that people say. Okay, like, if someone says something obnoxious, they'll say, how dare you come on Beyonce's internet and say such a thing? It's just calling her God, basically. And I find it really...
Well, especially now.
I mean, come on. She's killing it right now again. But, so... Marty Jannetty goes on Facebook this morning, posts a picture of him and a woman, and writes, I never told no one this, even my brother Gino, because Gino would have killed him, and I didn't want my brother gone. Hell, he'd only recently come home from Vietnam. I was 13 and working at Victory Lane's bowling alley buying weed from a bleep, derogatory word for gay people, that worked there. And he put his hands on me. He dragged me around to the back of the building. You already know what he was going to try to do. Okay. That was the very first time I made a man disappear. They never found him. They should have looked in the Chattahoochee River. But Winnie, the girl in these pics, I like you so damn much. Probably my favorite, but I promised myself way back then nobody would ever hurt me again. That includes you. I loved you, but you hurt me with your Jamaican jealousy. You can go your own way. I don't need you. A lot of things to take away from this story.
Wow.
Some strong racism, some homophobia, all disconcerting. Yes. However... also some threatening, which is also problematic and worrisome. It was the confessing randomly to a murder, though, that really got people's attention.
Sure.
I mean, is that right?
Really, is that right?
Yeah, because I was going to say there's a lot of bad things that happened there, but all of them obscured by one simple fact that he's confessing to a murder.
You got to be mindful of confessing to a murder.
So you think this actually happened?
I don't. I'm hopeful. No. But it's very, very strange. And he's been around, like, on the indies and, like, living a life. It's not like he's, like... It's an insane, insane story.
How does Winnie feel about all this?
My guess, if I'm her, would be concerned. And disturbed?
Yeah, because you don't want to end up like whoever was in the... What was the river again?
The Something-oochee?
The Chattahoochee or what?
The Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's not what, it's not what you want. It's the Chattahoochee River.
Chattahoochee.
Anyway.
Somebody drain that swamp.
It's a very, very strange day. Let's go back to the Marlins for a second, shall we?
Please.
Let's hear from Don Mattingly on... Let's hear about how his team is handling COVID.
We left the ballpark in Philly. Obviously, we lost. But at that point, four guys. And you kind of think that's it. Our plan was to leave the next morning. We were going to leave Monday morning to get the test back. And then the tests come back just awful, right? And then it was like, okay, we're going to stay here. We're going to go back to Miami on Friday. Then it was like, no, we're not going back to Miami on Friday. We're going to go Sunday. We're going to Baltimore. You know what I mean? So just you never knew what was going to happen, and you knew as time went on, guys are just getting more frustrated with you know, being locked up in a room. As I spoke yesterday, I think frustrated with, you know, lots of stuff that was out there. Obviously, we don't want to keep talking about all this stuff. We got to move on, but just frustrated with a lot of it.
Bad. It's a bad situation.
It's not what you want, as another baseball manager once said. Mike Trout is back.
Oh yeah, he is.
From his paternity leave, and let's look. Can we hear from our friend Boog Shambi, the call on ESPN?
He hammers that one out towards left center field. Lewis turns, and it's gone. His first at bat since becoming a dad. Mike Trout, a laser beam of a homer. And I'm sure Beckham's asleep, but smiling ever so slightly right now. 1-0 Angels. That got out in a hurry.
There you have it. That's how you do it, by the way. Nice story for your son one day.
Yeah, I homered my first at bat after you were born.
By the way, I'm a little... Sheila wrote me and says, so Russell Wilson sounds foolish. You immediately go to it being Sierra's fault. Hashtag disappointing. Sheila... She's in the video egging him on. You could hear her. She's the one asking the question. She's part of the skit.
Mr. Unlimited.
She co-signed that, no matter what. So, okay, fine. Am I taking a little bit of a leap when I said I think it was her idea? That was just sort of me fantasy booking the whole thing. Yes, I'm kind of goofing there. But you can't remove all blame. She's in there.
She's on board.
She's on board with Mr. Unlimited.
I can't believe you're attacked like that.
It's not right. Makes me sad, to be honest. All right, before we put a bow on this thing and then play Don's rant that ended the 235-day streak.
I think there was more than that because that hadn't been updated in a while.
So you think
we
were
the exact number?
Well, we have to ask RJ then when he last updated it. That's the question.
I bet you it's closer to 250.
Let's before we get to that, which is coming up next, let's hear from Lou Williams reflecting on his decision to go to Magic City.
In hindsight, I think as far as a public safety issue goes, I probably could have made a better quality decision. I was a little naive in that aspect. I went somewhere after a viewing of somebody I considered a mentor, somebody that I looked up to, first black man that I've seen with legal money in my life. And the funeral home was a couple blocks away from, one of my favorite restaurants. It's been documented how much I talk about this place, how much I eat there. And so I just did something that was routine for me. I frequent that place at that time of day, 5:30, 6:00 in the afternoon. At the time, I thought I was making a responsible decision. After looking back on it, with everything going on in the world and the pandemic, maybe it wasn't the best quality decision. So, you know, I chalk it up as that, take my L and keep moving.
I don't hate that, Don. I got to tell you, I'm good with it. You're not good with it? I'm good with it.
Well, just because it's maybe I made the wrong. No, you made the wrong decision.
But it does. But to me, it does give a different perspective to it than you're picturing someone partying at a strip club versus stopping by for dinner at 5:30, 6:00. It does for me. It did give me a different perspective on how I viewed it. Honestly,
but just saying. Listen, I was irresponsible. Bad job out of me.
He did say take the L, though. I mean, that's people struggle to say they take the L. He took the L. I'm going to give him a pass, which I think will mean a lot to him. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening, Donald.
RJ tweeted out on the Michael K. Show page on July 22nd, day since last Don Rant 235. So that's July 22nd. So 9 days. And then when did I rant? Yesterday was the 4th. 13 days later. So add 13 to that. 248 is the official number.
Wow. Big, 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 big. That's a huge number.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.